This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, everyone, and happy Friday to you. Jim Inman here in the studio along with Mr. David Piller, and it's morning and then it's evening, Mr. P, and double dip on the radio show this
week. My goodness, yeah, I'm trying to earn back some of that vacation time I've been taking recently.
You know, the experience of having glass in the morning in front of you and the sticky finger donuts and all of that, it makes for a good start to the weekend.
It did. There's a good picture on hopefully on the Bloomington Review Facebook page if you get that linked on there, but we had one this morning on mine and yours and Glass's, and I think Glass probably has it on his show's page.
What would you call that? A Donelfie?
I like it.
I don't know if that's quite the thing, but
There were donuts, there were selfies, there was radio magic this morning. So if you missed it, it's your fault. You should always be tuning in to Glass in the Morning every morning here from 7 to 9 on WGCL. But hey,
yes,
I'm glad to be back with you here. It's Friday night.
Missed you last week on the 4th of July show.
Yeah, it was a big celebration here in town. I mean, it's amazing. They have parades and fireworks and music all for Keith Klein's birthday.
I know. And he's just so nonchalant about it. Yep. And, it's just, they do this every year. I've just gotten used to it.
Just getting used to it.
Yeah, it was a good time. Good parade. I will say, and I'm not pointing out any specific float, but there was one. Hot pants probably are not the appropriate attire for a parade performer, if you will.
Yeah, depends.
Well, in this case, it was
not.
No,
it was not. Okay.
It was not. So we'll just put it that way. But otherwise, it was a very nice parade, good crowd. Community band did an excellent job, as always. And Keith and I, we have our fun and all of that. And I requested my cowbell. The Panache band, the steel drum band, wasn't in the show this year in the parade, but that's okay. We still got it covered.
It's another luxury of living in a town this size, mm-hmm. where you still have some of those, you have the big city access to things, our Division I sports programs and all of those facilities, the wonderful art and music of both local and that are tied into the university, all of that great stuff that comes to living in a bigger city. But at the same time, the city over those 2 or 3 months in the summer when the students are gone transforms itself into a small community,
right,
where you can get out there and see people that you probably haven't. There was a running joke that you and I experienced it this year, that there's a handful of people you see every year at the Taste of Bloomington. That's the only time you ever see them. Maybe they're in town, maybe they're out of town.
Right.
But again, that's just some of the beauty of this community, that you can come back and feel like you've never left sometimes for those people. And for those of us that haven't left, it's fun to welcome them back.
It did kind of amaze me, though, because where we were situated right in front of the entrance to Fountain Square Mall, there were security in the area. And I heard more than once people on the walkie-talkie saying that there were complaints from drivers who wanted to park in the 7th Street garage above Scotty's, right across the street from WGCL. Well, the parade route comes up 7th Street, goes north to 8th, right in front of Kilroy's and Scotty's,
yes,
and then head south on College Avenue. So you can't park in that garage because you can't get out during the parade,
right,
experience.
Right.
And 4th Street garage was wide open. There was another garage. It's like, come on, people, just find it. Don't complain.
This is a two-hour block of time,
right,
on a Saturday morning,
right,
over a holiday weekend. Nothing's going to be open anyway right now.
Let's celebrate America, not worry about anyway.
Yeah, people's priorities have been out of whack recently, in case you haven't noticed.
I have noticed,
okay,
and we'll talk
checking
a little bit about that later on in the news today.
But you're on vacation. You're finishing up a wonderful week of vacation. You guys had a nice event, raised a lot of money for your
Coda.
And you're kind of coming down off that high. Anyone out there that runs big events or has been a part of big events and those sorts of things like that, boy, you just, when it's over,
yes,
I talk to Pat Wilson about that every year after she does Evening with Habitat. They almost always go on vacation right after that, because you have to, because
right,
if you don't, there's usually a chaos and craziness because someone's chicken wasn't done properly the night before, or someone didn't get an item that they bid on, or that someone didn't get to sit at the table they're supposed to. And it's best just to step away, let everyone cool down, bask in the fact that it's over. You did a great thing for a great cause. So congratulations to you and your organization for a nice event up there, it seemed like.
It was. We raised a little over $140,000. Our program was designed that the families that we help who are waiting for an organ transplant or stem cell or bone marrow, that there's no cost for them. So this fundraiser supports our mission to allow us to continue providing no-cost services.
That's
so
good stuff.
It was a good time, but I the next week was the after the event, got everything wrapped up for the most part and already started planning for 2016, and then I took 10 days of vacation. Friday
That's
was
awesome.
The third because of the holiday,
so right.
Add that in, and took a couple days to
Nashville,
Tennessee.
Are you going to tell us about your vacation now, or do you want to tease us and save it till the end? I'd like to hear it now. Let's hear it. The phone lines are blowing up.
Radio
magic. We don't have phone lines.
Radio magic. Went down to Nashville, Tennessee, saw Vince Gill and the Time Jumpers, great country western swing band.
Oh, fantastic.
And then his wife, Amy Grant, joined up on the stage for a number and got to see her. So it was a good experience. And then went the next day around Nashville, actually went to the Dave Ramsey Studios.
Oh, the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions?
Exactly. On Mallory Boulevard, I believe it is. And
fantastic.
If you're listening to WGCL, you know who Dave Ramsey is, obviously. Yeah. And if you were
9 to noon every day,
focused on your finances and debt, you've probably read one of his books. So it was a very nondescript building, nice space, four stories tall or so. There's a Target across the street. There's a Cracker Barrel next door. I mean, it's not like it's in
an empire, huh?
At all. So went in and talked with a couple people, and one of the guys is a relationship manager for the affiliates, so mentioned WGCL.
Good.
So he took me in, and I got to see the studio, the inside of the studio, not the part that you see where Dave's behind the microphone and on the headset and all of that, but actually where the sliders are and the boards and everything. So got to see some of that, actually got a tour of the building, got to see the different departments and so on. And
did you get to see him? Was he there?
Dave was off.
Oh, Dave was off, okay.
Dave doesn't have to work every day, so Dave was off. But I think it's Fridays in particular that he's always there, tries to always be there, because that's when they do a lot of the people to come in and do all that. But they have a big wall that people sign when they come in and do their debt-free screen.
Great.
So it was a very nice place.
Did you do any screaming yourself?
I did not.
Did you have any cookies from the Martha's place?
I was offered, but I did not.
Oh, no. Jim.
For what you see, or I should say what you hear, most part for WGCL listeners, but they do some video as well. It's just like watching anything on television. You think it's a massive place, but it's really sets and everything, and they just move things around. So it wasn't that big. But still, very nice people. And one of the guys I talked to was coming up to South Bend for a wedding this weekend, and
fantastic.
We bonded about traveling on I-69, all of that, and life was good.
Maybe we'll start running studio tours around here so people can press their face up against the glass when we're doing that. So we're probably not allowed to write on the walls around
here.
We'd get in trouble. So.
But it was a good week.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm ready to sleep in two more days.
Congratulations on taking that time for yourself. You've earned it.
Thank you, brother. We are going to take a break. We've got a full show for you. Plenty in the news scene, local as well as national. Then later on, before we get into the sports recap, if you will, for the week, it is Friday, which is the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony tonight, starting at 5:00. You and I talked with Joe Smith earlier today.
Yeah,
and he's
such a great event. So most people, hopefully, you went to the meet and greet. You know, it was from 5 to 6 this evening. Hopefully you were able to get a chance to get over there, because some wonderful, wonderful athletic dignitaries being inducted to this year's class, not to mention all the other folks that will probably be around from the other class. But the event is sold out. So if you're listening to us now on your way home, that means you weren't able to get a ticket or get in, because it was a tough ticket to get. And then, catch up with all the recaps in the paper tomorrow.
Exactly. And then we'll also talk about football. Amazing enough as it is.
Are you ready, Jim? Are you ready for some football?
It's not Faith Hill anymore. Who does it now?
It used to be Hank Williams, and then it was Faith, and
Carrie Underwood
does it. But it's been moved around a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll talk football, because it is coming up here on WGCL. Not only high school football on Friday evenings, but we've got Colts. We've got all kinds of football action, over 115 games this season. So we'll give you a preview of what's coming up in just a little bit. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. And, of course, WGCLRadio.com is streaming over there 24/7 as well. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here, along with David Pillar. And if you listen to the glass in the morning this morning, I'm doing my best not to have sticky fingers tonight.
Yeah, there were donuts everywhere, Jim. You know what else is everywhere? Rain. And about had it.
How is that segue you, folks?
As my prediction was on the radio this morning with Glass, is that I would say August 3rd, the first day of school in the MCC, it's going to be 90 and sunny.
It will.
That's going to be my prediction for that. But as always, stay tuned to WGCLradio.com for that one. But anyway, Friday night, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Tomorrow, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m., partly sunny, high near 84. It better be, Jim. My parents are coming into town.
Are they?
Big pool party tomorrow, I hope, with some family and some friends. So hopefully that works out. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 70. Then Sunday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high near 86. So at least the temperature is going back up. Mm-hmm. It looks like rain again as we get next week started. But stay tuned, WGCLradio.com, all your weather, all the time.
From the Indiana Daily Student, the IDS, Daniel Messel's trial date has been moved to February to give the court and attorneys time to prepare, according to the Brown County Circuit Court. Messel, of course, is charged with one count of murder for the death of IU senior Hannah Wilson, who was found dead April 23rd in Brown County. Jury selection is going to begin the end of February next year, and the trial will immediately proceed after the selection. Original trial date was set for July of this year, but because of various requests, such as a request for investigator funds and a change of venue, the date has been modified. The change of venue request was filed by Messel's attorney, Dory Marion, last month, and Judge Judith Stewart ruled to keep the change of venue decision pending until the jury selection. Marion made the request to avoid jury bias against Messel because of local news coverage. And of course, those who have been following this story, there have been various connections, even with the Lauren Spear disappearance and Jill Bierman's death as well. Yeah. So all of those impacted the decision to move the trial to 2016.
Jim, more stuff from last weekend. A runner on the Beeline Trail told police that a man jumped out of the woods and put her in a chokehold last Saturday evening. The woman was not injured in the assault. Nothing was taken from her, according to Bloomington Police Lieutenant Brad Seifers. The woman had been running north on the trail near pole number 27 south of Grimes Lane at about 7:20 Saturday. She reported a man emerged from the woods and grabbed her around the neck, took her into the ground, and threatened her. She started to scream, causing the man to flee east into the woods. The suspect was described as being 5 feet 10 inches tall, about 170 pounds, with very short hair or a bald head. He wore a black jacket, blue jeans, and brown work boots. Bloomington police did not find the suspect during a search of the area. Anyone with information can call the Bloomington police, 812-339-4477.
Oh, taxes are always a fun topic to discuss. In this article in the Herald Times this week about the Monroe County assessor and concerns of the dark store valuation are making big news. Tax refunds and a steep decline in the property tax base are at stake as counties across the state and the country, including Monroe County, battle a new tactic big retailers are using to slash their property taxes. So county assessors value real estate based on the current condition of the building, but big box chains around the country are pushing to have their buildings compared to others that have been vacated and sold. Appraisers across the nation are referring to this as the dark store method. The county currently is battling at the state level with Lowe's over the assessment of the company store in Whitehall Crossing on Bloomington's west side. They are appealing its assessment in June 2014. And Monroe County Assessor Judy Sharp called the case, quote, "the one that broke my back." Little history lesson for you. Lowe's was built on an almost 13-acre site back in 1999. The retailer and the county settled on what was considered a fair assessment of $74 per square foot. That equals about $9.4 million total, according to Sharp. But last summer, an attorney from Indianapolis-based law firm Fager Baker Daniels came in and gave her an appeal for the property. The national retailer, Lowe's, was asked to take the value for the store down to $30 per square foot for a total property value of about $4.2 million. That is more than half, everybody. The case is still ongoing, but if the retailer wins, the county will have to pay back more than half of the company's $230,000-plus tax payment from last year and interest, according to Sharp. This is an ongoing issue, and as I mentioned, in nearly every big box store, which is defined as a single commercial building at least 50,000 square feet, in Monroe County is valued at $74 per square foot. And all these assessments for those would have to drop to $30 per square foot if this decision goes as such. Sharp said in the Herald Times article that property taxes are going to go up just like that as she snapped her fingers. and that tax rates would impact tax caps, which would then leave less money for schools, public safety, libraries, and other essentials in the county. Sounds like the deadline is July 31st, so more on this to come.
And another kind of upsetting sad one, Jim. Police have made an arrest in connection with a June sexual assault of a 73-year-old woman inside her Southside Bloomington apartment. Police say DNA evidence collected at the scene of the attack matched records in a federal database of prison inmates, leading to the arrest of 34-year-old Gerald Honeycutt on this past Monday. Honeycutt was booked into the Monroe County Jail on preliminary charges of rape, burglary, intimidation, confinement, and strangulation. In the June 14 incident, police were dispatched to an apartment on the city's south side just before 6 a.m. that Sunday morning. During the assault, the woman had managed to activate her home medical alert system in her bedroom. Its beeping alarm sent her attacker fleeing through a sliding glass door before emergency responders arrived. The woman told police she had been asleep on the couch when she was awakened by a strange man who covered her nose and mouth with his hand and pressed his forearm into her throat. She was then sexually assaulted in the living room and a second time in the bedroom where she was able to hit the alarm. This is interesting, Jim, because this same guy, Gerald Lee Honeycutt, was also questioned by police and considered a suspect in a 1999 rape of a 62-year-old woman. Hair found on a comforter in the June attack matched DNA from the 1999 case and compelled investigators to seek a DNA sample from Honeycutt on July 2nd, according to the probable cause affidavit in the case. In 2001, he was accused of breaking into the mobile home of a 53-year-old woman while armed with a butcher knife. The year before, officers found Honeycutt hiding inside a 47-year-old woman's apartment after he got in through a sliding glass door. In the unsolved 1999 case, a man entered a residency in the 300 block of Johnson Avenue through a window. The attacker grabbed a 62-year-old woman from behind, held her around the neck, and sexually assaulted her in a bedroom. During Honeycutt's initial hearing in the Monroe Circuit Court Tuesday, Special Judge Randy Bridges assigned Honeycutt a public defender and entered a preliminary plea of not guilty into the court record. A pretrial conference for Honeycutt has been scheduled for August 20th, and a bail review hearing is set on Monday. Honeycutt's bond has been set at a $200,000 surety and a $1,000 cash. Court records show Honeycutt's history also includes gun and alcohol offenses, theft, and domestic battery dating back to 1998.
Mm-mm-mm. Hopefully they have the right guy on this one. We're going to take a break when we come back. Do you remember Allskate, Normal Direction, the Snowball? Do you remember all of that stuff from Western Skateland? Well, music's key out there, and they've had a theft, but they may have some progress on that. We'll update you on that and much more, plus football in the not-too-distant future as well. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. We'll be right back. Don't forget, everybody, that you can always go to facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, catch up on what's going on here in the studio and see our lovely faces along with Mr. Mike Glasscott from earlier on Friday morning and the great donut experience of July 2015. We're also streaming over at WGCLRadio.com. And if you miss any part of the show, click on the Bloomington Review link there and you can catch up on our podcast as well. Are you a roller skater,
Mr. Jim, Buller? I was back in my coordinated days, but those days are long since passed. So I'm not, and I've not heard of any of the things that you said, but who knows?
That's what I grew up with in Bloomington, the Snowball and the Allskate opposite direction.
Oh, there you go.
PTO skate night, man. It was a big deal.
Sounds exciting.
Pre-internet, that's how you socialized.
All right. On Saturday, July 4th, around 8:20 p.m., surveillance cameras at Western Skateland recorded a male suspect entering the closed skating rink by tampering with a rear door. The burglary only spanned 5 minutes, with three of those minutes focused on removing the skating rink's primary music source, an InWin Cybertron PC. We've had smaller robberies before where they broke into the office and stole small amounts, but this is the first burglary of this size so far, said Daniel Morris, general manager and son of Skateland owner Elaine Baker. We buy all of our music from iTunes now as opposed to the old days when it was all on CDs. We had over 5,000 songs of music, music videos, and some personal pictures of my kids on that computer. Morris values the computer itself at around $1,600, but the cost of the 5,000 songs at $1.25 each raises the value to over $7,000, a sum that can raise the crime felony level. Luckily, because the burglar was so narrowly focused, Skateland will be able to operate from a backup computer and prevent any further losses they might have faced from having to shut down. The old computer before this one was replaced in January, said Morris, so we've only had about 6 months' worth of downloaded music behind from the old to the new. which is maybe a couple hundred songs, but I could plug it in right now and run a session. The cool thing about this, Jim, is that in a true testament of support and loyalty, the post on Facebook sharing the image of the burglar was shared nearly 550 times and seen by thousands of people. Morris said, "It's amazing. The last I knew, 70-some thousand people had seen that post. That amount of people saying this just isn't right is amazing. I think the outpouring of support from the people that have grown up here and around here have really helped. Within an hour, we had a suspect name and a residence where he might live. Western Skateland will continue to operate under normal summer business hours, and Jim is offering free admission for a year as a reward for information leading to an arrest."
Awesome. 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 Hope they find the guy.
Yeah.
Three Monroe County deputies are now patrolling on two wheels instead of four. Bryant Brooks, Jared Scudder, and Nathan Williamson, all deputies here locally, are certified for bike patrolling, and their first assignment is going to be the first phase of the Karst Farm Greenway. Now, the Greenway is eventually going to be a six-mile bike and pedestrian trail that starts at Karst Farm Park and ends at the outskirts of Ellettsville. First phase stretches to Vernal Pike, and then the second and third phases of the project will take the trail to Loesch Road and eventually connect to Ellettsville's Heritage Trail, which is also still in development. Sheriff Brad Swain, who's been a guest on the show, said he plans to staff the trail during special events and holidays and some weekends and evenings. The bike patrols will not take deputies away from their duties on the road. One of the nice things about this, the cost was less than $5,000 and evenly split between the commissary fund of the Sheriff's Department and the Monroe County Parks and Rec Foundation. And speaking of the Karst Farm Greenway, Saturday, if you're catching the replay, you can head out for the opening celebration at 10 o'clock. The public's invited to meet at Karst Farm Park around the splash pad area, and you can enjoy the first 3.5 miles of the first phase of the Greenway. So you can head out there Saturday at 10 o'clock, and hopefully the weather holds off for those folks.
There you go. Jim, have I mentioned it's been raining lately? Have you noticed?
No, what? Hey, what?
It's been raining. And not only are you and I noticing this, but Indiana's rainy summer has been a bummer for kids at the pool. Mick Renheisen was on the Glass in the Morning show this morning, so you heard Mick's take on that. But Hoosier farmers have lost approximately $475 million so far from too much precipitation. Obviously, Indiana has had a lot of rain with record rainfall in June. Chris Hurt, an agricultural economist with Purdue University, I can't even say those words. They don't even come out of my mouth well. Purdue University said, in many areas, that was just too much for the crops. Hurt said the rain has caused flooding and ponding, meaning crops are totally submerged underwater. As of July 7th, 7% of the corn crops in Indiana were considered very poor, and 14% of the crops were considered poor by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Crop Progress Report. For soybean farmers, 6% of this year's crops were rated very poor, and 15% were rated poor. Hurt said many farmers will have to rely on farmers' insurance because of this year's crops. However, he noted this insurance will not replace the income lost in floods. Crop insurance is different than our homeowners' insurance, he explained. It's not meant to replace the loss. It's meant to avoid catastrophic losses and to help avoid really huge losses that could come from severe weather. On the positive side, Hurt said, prices nationally have increased by 10%. So what Indiana farmers do manage to produce will at least be worth more on the national market.
And a final story. Locally, nationally, all that stuff we talked about this morning. A raid at the home of well-known Subway restaurant pitchman Jared Fogle is casting a very glaring spotlight on his relationship with the former head of a foundation that he set up to combat childhood obesity. State and federal authorities raided the home of Jared Fogle on Tuesday in Zionsville, just a couple months after then-executive director of Fogle's foundation was arrested on child pornography charges. Now, authorities won't describe the nature of the investigation or what they hope to find on electronics removed from Fogle's home. We all know who he is. Fogle's the guy, the Subway guy, who lost 240-some pounds when he was a student at Indiana University, and he did it by eating Subway sandwiches. No cheese, no, just veggies and turkey. Subway said in a statement this week that it believed the raid was, quote, related to a prior investigation, end quote, of a former employee of the Jared Foundation. The company didn't say whether that employee was former Foundation executive Russell Taylor. Fogle declined to comment when he left his home on Tuesday this week, and his attorney said in a statement that his client has not been arrested or charged, but is cooperating and continues to cooperate with law enforcement in their investigation. But Subway has taken all signs of Fogle from their website and issued a statement saying the two have, quote, mutually agreed to suspend their relationship due to the current investigation. So he's not been proven guilty in anything yet, but we're already kind of distancing ourselves.
The problem is the court of public opinion, Jim, and that's entirely different than the legal system. And even for us to comment, with much depth, is simply to say that if he's guilty, then ideally, hopefully, the legal process will play its way out, and what he's being accused of is certainly not anything good at all. If he's found not guilty, then what do you do? This man has been crucified now in the public, guilty or not. His image is shattered, and then it's a different legal process of who then does he get to sue for reputation, besmirchment, if you will. And I don't think that's a word, but he's this is just bad. But it's what's happening, Jim. It's Bill Cosby now too, and go all the way back to Olympic Park bomber suspect Richard Jewell, that was accused of bombing the Olympics. And setting off that bomb in Atlanta, and it wasn't him, and he was accused of it, and he was cleared, and you get a check, but sometimes for some people that might be okay, but for others there's no way that a check will repair what damage has been done to, for example, to Jared in this situation. If he is found not guilty, if he's guilty, then he's got to pay up.
Game on.
Yeah, exactly. But if he's not. It's just the age we live in, Jim. It's the red screen that comes across the TV with breaking news. It's the cut-ins on the radios. It's the little alerts on your cell phone. Everyone has to break the news, and we're not worried about accuracy anymore. We're worried about being first to report it.
That's right.
So,
on a much lighter note, when we come back, it is the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame 2015 class induction tonight, Friday night at the Convention Center. If you heard Joe Smith earlier today, well, you know what? We'll talk about that when we talk about the event in just a couple minutes and give you a rundown on who the honorees are this year. So stay with us. Much more here on the Bloomington Review. Tonight, Friday night, is the induction, as we mentioned, of the 2015 Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame class of 2015. Joe Smith talked about it earlier today on Glass in the Morning, and he is kind of, I think he's one of the MCs.
Lynn Hauser is the president of the board or the president of the committee, but obviously, as you would imagine, our very own Joe Smith is an instrumental part in all of that. He has forgotten more about Bloomington and Monroe County sports than we could ever know.
Oh, I hope Joe Smith writes a book one day he's got the knowledge
there.
He'll
get it for free, too.
So I wanted to just highlight who our honorees are for the 2015 induction. Again, tonight, doors open at 5 o'clock at the Convention Center. There is an open meet and greet. There's no charge for that if you're interested in attending that. And then as Joe mentioned...
It's over. By now, by the time people are getting to it, the meet and greet's over.
Well, that's true. I guess you're right.
But if you're listening on your way home, there were some seats that were available.
If it's 6 o'clock or six, well, I'm just going to shut up. It's done.
But but if you're there and you're listening to us on Saturday morning, I hope you enjoy it.
There you go.
A great class, Jim, of 10 folks that have strong ties to our community in a whole different set of circumstances. Bill Armstrong Jr., graduate of Bloomington High School South, 1970, was the Bloomington High School's first state swim champion with the 100 backstroke IHSA. Mental Attitude Award winner, went on to play some sports at IU Medical School, graduate as well.
Then we have Betsy Cousins Mulder. She graduated from Bloomington North back in 1992, being honored as the only Monroe County State Gymnastics Championship. She dominated in 1992 state meet, winning 4 events. Started training at the age of 7 with IU coach Jim Brown, and now practices at University Pharmacy in Columbus, and is the mother of a son as well as triplet daughters. So looking forward for her tonight.
Kevin King, an all-state or state champion in 3 sports at Bloomington High School South, football, wrestling, and track. And track, state discus champion, set the meet record at 189 feet, 9 inches. Second at the state in shot put. And at IU, won 2 football letters, 5 track letters. And coached football at Center Grove High School and is currently at Belzer Middle School in Lawrence Township.
Sheldon Kinzer, that name is very common here in Bloomington, Monroe County. Indy sprint car race car driver, 6-time starter in the Indianapolis 500. And he was charged from 23rd to highest Indy career finish of sixth in 1981's Indianapolis 500. National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductee back in 1992. He has been in all kinds of races. Unfortunately, passed away at the age of 45 back in 1988 of throat cancer. But his legacy has definitely lived on through Monroe County.
Here's one of my guys, Big May, Sean May. Congratulations. Sean was a student of mine at Bloomington North. Got to coach him as well at North. 2002 Indiana Mr. Basketball was on the unbeaten 2000 state runner-up team that was defeated by Zach Randolph and Marion. Of course, went on to play at the University of North Carolina in the Tar Heels, where he won a national championship, drafted by the Charlotte at that time Bobcats, where he averaged 11 points during his NBA career, and then played some in Europe. And one of my favorite stats about Sean, Jim, shoe size 20.
20?
20.
Oh, my word. George Shively is our next honoree. He was part of the Negro League Baseball. He came from Kentucky, actually, and then moved with the team and manager to form the Indianapolis ABC team in the Negro American League, playing with and against all-time great Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, and Oscar Charleston. Now, you may have heard his name recently because he was buried in an unmarked grave with his wife Lula at Rose Hill Cemetery, but a recent community drive financed markers for both he and his wife, as well as eight others in that cemetery plot. He passed away back in 1962, but a storied history there in baseball.
Amazing, yeah. Hey, how about Coach Holmes? Not J.R. Holmes, our favorite Bloomington South Panther, but Coach John M. Holmes from Edgewood. Coach John M. Holmes had 318 coaching victories at five high schools, including sectional championships at Ellettsville High School, Jim, 1961. Cascade, Martinsville, and Avon as well. He's a lifelong farmer. He lives in Greene and Monroe counties, has property in both, and he is now 84 years old, and he and his wife, Joyce, have three sons. And, Jim, he and his wife have been married for 65 years.
He is actually a distant relative of mine.
Well, there you
have it. He was at Edgewood when I was there a few years back.
Very
also,
cool.
Speaking of Edgewood, Charlie Warthen, he was the Edgewood 1968 track cross-country coach, and then he also coached at Bloomington High School North in track and cross-country. He was a runner at Edgewood. He was the first Indiana State University runner to make the NCAA cross-country championships, and has just been a phenomenal coach and leader across Southern Indiana. Multiple honors both at North and Edgewood High School, and I'm trying to find here, was inducted into the State Track Cross Country Hall of Fame as well.
And a name that most everybody in our community knows, Bob Hamill, is being inducted as a contributor. He was in the newspaper profession for 50 years, 30 of those at the Herald Telephone and Herald Times in Bloomington. He's covered pretty much everything that has happened in this community sports-wise. He has won just about every award that you could possibly win for sports writing and sports journalism. Of course, has penned numerous books here lately, some with Coach Knight, some on the Cook family, which have been very, very popular. Again, a walking dictionary, encyclopedia, thesaurus,
yes,
and every other reference book you would want to say of local sports, Bob Hamill.
And the Humanitarian Award is honored posthumously to Thomas Doc Petrie. He was a trainer at Bloomington High School, the old Bloomington High School, and then Bloomington High School South. He was born in 1942, came to Bloomington, and was part of a variety of organizations locally. He served 30 years as high school athletic trainer at Bloomington High and Bloomington High School South, including Bloomington High's 60-game win streak of 1968 through 1973. And he was named Indiana Athletic Trainer of the Year in 1994. He passed away in 2011, but I believe his daughter Amy is married to my friend Jason Lanham, and he retired in 2004, but a legacy there for sure among him and all the people who are being honored this year.
Yeah, congratulations, everybody. Very, very cool event.
Yes, it is. And again, Joe Smith will have a recap Monday morning here on Glass in the Morning on WGCL. We're going to get more sports. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Bloomington Review.
Sports.
So now that we talked about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, let's give you some local coverage as well. The Reds coverage tonight, Friday night, July 10th. They're at Miami tonight right after the show at 7:10. And then tomorrow, the 11th, Miami as well, 4:10 for the first pitch. Then they got a few days off, and then they head back home. And Cleveland comes to town next Friday and Saturday, 7:10 for both of those. And, of course, you can keep up with your Reds schedule at WGCLRadio.com. Mr. Piller?
Yeah, Jim, can you believe it? Midway point of the baseball season with the Midsummer Classic All-Star Break coming up in Cincinnati. Tuesday night's the game, Monday night Home Run Derby, all the celebrity stuff that goes along with that. So a great opportunity for the wonderful, wonderful city of Cincinnati to showcase itself. Also, we're going to talk in just a second about some big news on WGCL towards the fall. But at the end of this month, the Crown Royal 400 NASCAR will be from 12 to 5 p.m. coming up. So all of our NASCAR fans, they can check out with that. Some other stuff happening. Jim, was in the paper earlier this week that the Hoosier basketball team, the men's team, was number 8 in attendance nationwide. Attendance figures, don't forget, are based on tickets sold, not bodies and seats.
Right.
But at the same time, that's a lot of tickets to sell. So good for them.
And after a rough season, it's nice to know we made the top 10. The people were still making the attempt to attend.
Yeah, I think that is good. That's good. And
yeah.
at least they were paying for them.
Yes.
Hey, lots and lots of shakeups. I hope Doug Hughes is all right. Have you checked on Doug?
The
Pacers. My goodness, the Pacers are all over the place. They officially now the moratorium on NBA movement is over. So Roy Hibbert has officially been traded to the Lakers for a second round draft pick and some cash considerations. It's a shame that's all you can get for a player like that, but he had kind of worn out his welcome in Indianapolis. He did not attend his summer celebrity charity softball game that he had done with someone from the Colts. It wasn't Gary Brackett. I'll have to think about that, and it'll come back to me who it was with the Colts that he did that with. But did that, and then he also disbanded his Area 55 local charity. His number was 55, so that was kind of his thing that he donated a lot of money and tickets and stuff to. So he was on his way out of town, and the Pacers just helped that move a little bit more quickly. Luis Scola, another frontliner for the Pacers, has left to go to the Toronto Raptors on a one-year deal worth $3 million. And this is a big one, Jim, and I love it. I hate it for the Pacers. I love it for pro sports. David West opted out of a contract with the Pacers that would have paid him $12.5 million this year, maybe $13.5 million this year in the final year of the deal. He left to go to the San Antonio Spurs, where he's going to play there for either $1 million or $1.5 million. So he left about $12 million on the table to leave the Pacers, go to the Spurs, because at this point in his career, he wanted to win. Again, I hate it that anyone's leaving the Pacers, because we love Indianapolis, we love the city, we love the facility, we love the Pacers. But what a mentality in professional sports of all places. You know, LeBron James waited until everything else was done, and he just signed his deal, two years and $47 million. So LeBron was going to get his, and then the team can build itself around LeBron. David West said, I want to go and have a chance to win, and he took $1 million. So the Pacers have added 6'10 former Laker Jordan Hill as a free agent signing. That goes on top of Monte Ellis that they brought in last week. So they'll be a different team style-wise, but they better get some big bodies up front, Jim. Otherwise, I'm going to have to start stretching and get out there, because I got some eligibility left for the Pacers. The Snake, Kenny Stabler, former Super Bowl quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, passed away the other day after a bout with cancer. One of the more flamboyant players of that era, of the 70s. The Snake was the quarterback under John Madden when the Oakland Raiders defeated the Minnesota Vikings in the Super Bowl. Wimbledon, if you're with us on Friday night, Saturday morning, you got breakfast at Wimbledon, 9 o'clock. Serena Williams going for another Grand Slam. And then the men's final will be 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. I didn't see that, Jim. It's some combination of Djokovic, Federer, I'm sure, as usual, the usual suspects in that thing. And then also going back for one more thing from last weekend, USA, USA. How about the women's soccer team? They had their ticker tape parade in New York City this morning down through Manhattan. The United States, 4-1 at the half against the Japanese. Mm-hmm. And they took all the excitement right out of that at the beginning. But it all worked out for the best as the ladies bring home the gold in the World Cup. Now, I'm going to kick it off to you. You like that?
I do.
For some big news about the fall schedule here on WGCL.
Well, of course, as we mentioned, and again, we talked about this this morning on Glass in the Morning, high school football is going to begin here on WGCL Radio Friday, August 21st. Our first game is going to be Columbus East at Bloomington High School North.
You know, the only bad thing about high school football in the fall, Jim?
Is that we only get a half-hour show on Fridays?
Not us. It's the people. The people only get a half an hour of us on Fridays, but we'll work you into that. We'll start prepping you.
I'm going to check and see if we can get into the pregame show as part of the whole package. But we have over 115 games to broadcast this year related to football. Not only do we have our high school sports on Friday nights, we're going to have every Colts game, every primetime NFL game, and that means Monday nights, Thursday nights, Sundays, and also select games on Sundays when the Colts are not playing. So we're going to broadcast every playoff game, and that's going to wrap up with the Super Bowl number 50, February 7th, 2016. Cool. All of the updated schedule at WGCLradio.com. We're running short on time. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks so much for everybody who tuned in tonight and caught the program. And if you're catching us on Saturday morning for the replay, Your Money with David Hayes is immediately to follow as well. But if you're catching us Friday night, Reds baseball coming up in just a few minutes. Miami is in Cincinnati tonight, Mr. Piller.
Yeah, another day of rain, Jim, around here. But tonight, 20% chance of more showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low around 65. Saturday, our chance at a nice one, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 84. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low around 70. And then Sunday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a high near 86. Rain, believe it or not, next week. But stay tuned for all of that. Log in. WGCLradio.com, all your weather, all the time.
And with it being Friday, July 11th, it is the second Friday of the month, but because last week was 4th of July weekend, it is actually first Friday tonight, Friday night. So if you aren't going to make it to the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, you can go downtown and enjoy the galleries and restaurants and all of that.
Cool. I like it, Jim.
So big plans for your weekend, sir?
Parents, and again, godmother and some family coming in tomorrow. So hopefully the weather is nice so we can hang out by the pool for a little bit and cook out, grill out, do all those things you're supposed to do when the weather is nice in the summer.
That's good.
What about you?
You're
still on vacation.
I'm still on vacation. A buddy of mine turned 40 earlier this week, and so we're doing his 40th birthday party Saturday from 4 to like 10, because now you've got a little baby, and when you hit that age, you don't party till an indiscriminate time. You just party until dark.
Yeah, and then everyone gets tired. And
then you got to go home.
And regrets it the next morning.
Yes, all of that. So, you know, it's all right. It's what you do kind of thing. And then I think Sunday, I think it's low key. I try to get all the junk work done early on in the vacation time so that way I don't have to wake up Monday morning and iron and all of that. Everything's locked and loaded. So that's my plan.
I like it.
Hopefully we'll get Barrett Deal on. She was with us Friday morning on Glass in the Morning, but she is part of the founding crew for the Blues Funk Fest.
Yeah, the Kings down there at Upland.
Yes.
And benefits the Boys and Girls Club. It's all in honor of her
late husband
Carl Deal that passed away several years back.
Yep, so hopefully Barrett will be on in the next week or so to talk about that. And hopefully get Julie Warren on in the not-too-distant future as well and all that other fun stuff. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and WGCLRadio.com if you miss any part of the show. Have a great weekend, Mr. Piller.
Enjoy
your family.
Good to see you.
All right, we'll talk to you everybody next week. Bye-bye.